Last month, the Times newspaper did an investigation into how Ireland has become the puppy farm capital of the world. And sadly, we know here in Cork, we have a number of those unscrupulous dog breeders living in our midst. To talk about the problem, I'm joined by John O'Callaghan. And John is founder of the group Dog Advocacy Ireland. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Patricia.
You're welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Now,
it's been a while.
It has indeed. Now, the investigation that was in the Times newspaper, they looked at crates of young dogs going on long haul flights, and they discovered that many of these flights were bound for Asia, which I think a lot of our listeners will be surprised to hear that we've got dogs that are being shipped, you know, as far flung as Asia. Have we any idea, John, on the number of dogs that are traded this wave out of Ireland every year?
The honest answer, Patricia, is no. Will you mind if I just divert for a second, please? Can I compliment you personally and the Today team on the fantastically consistent high standard of public service broadcasting, or it's not necessarily public service broadcasting, but current affairs broadcasting that you guys do, and yourself in particular, your presentation style, and the backroom team, past and present, may I compliment you?
Well, that's very kind of you. That's very kind.
You do a fantastic job, and long may it last.
Thank you. Now, Talk to me about these poor dogs. We've no way of knowing how many are being traded this way.
No, and it would appear that we don't care either, Patricia. The governance of dog welfare, the governance and inspection of dog welfare is non-existent, right? There are three government departments. It's very deliberate. The responsibility and accountability is strewn across three government departments. The Department of Agriculture, which has responsibility for the Animal Health and Welfare Act. The Department of Rural and Community Development, which has responsibility for the Control of Dogs Act. And then we have local government, where all local authorities are responsible for the Dog Breeding Establishment Act. And they're the people, the local authorities, they issue these dog breeding establishment licenses. Okay. And there's little or no governance policy in place, Richard. And believe me, there's little or no inspection taking place. So now it's a free for all. Some local authorities don't even have a veterinary officer employed, right? So who's carrying out the inspections? Who's controlling? Who has oversight?
And are there rules and regulations to say how many inspections every year should be carried out, for example? Is there legislation in place?
None whatsoever, Patricia. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
And written reports of those random inspections would be helpful. But none of that takes place.
And this shipping of dogs to Asia, is Asia a big market for our puppies?
Singapore is the biggie, as people will have read or in John Mooney's article. John Mooney has been at this around this for about 25 or 30 years, by the way, and I spoke to John Mooney and gave him a lot of information that was included, and I was delighted to see the published article. So, yeah, this man knows what he's talking about. Singapore is a big export market where puppies sell for up to 4,000, 5,000 euro per puppy. There's one individual whom I'm not going to name, so you're safe.
Okay.
Who is in Cork, and he's the biggest exporter of puppies to Singapore. He boasts that he has no problem earning 20 grand. You're in the wrong job, Patricia. 20
and,
grand.
And the type of... A lot of these are the designer breeds, aren't they? Which in themselves, I've spoken with vets in the past. A lot of these crosses, we don't know what the problems are going to be going forward for a lot of these designer breeds.
Absolutely. Just let me finish the money aspect there, Patricia. It's 20 grand. He boasts that he has no problem earning 20 grand per week. Per week. That gives you
an idea of the money. Yeah.
Some comprehension of the level of abuse and mistreatment and the money that's earned. There's 200 million. I repeat, 200 million per annum being earned from this criminal activity. And it is criminal, because there are laws and there's legislation surrounding and governing the animal, the dogs are animals, right? The Animal Health and Welfare Act covers dog welfare, but if it's not being enforced, and there is no governance or no oversight in place, and there are no inspections conducted. You know, you asked very pertinent and relevant questions there to me, and the answer, I'm afraid, is you know, these inspections don't take place. There are no reports. So what the hell is happening? Is it any wonder
okay,
that
but
Ireland?
But if there are such demands for these puppies, is there a way to breed them humanely?
Well, yes, there is. First of all, there's an unlimited number of breeding bitches permitted in this country. Okay, the government, there is no upper limit. Like the biggest puppy farmer in the country, and again, I'm not going to name, but he has been in the public domain, and it's been reported on Panorama, BBC Panorama documentary back in 2014. We saw the inside of his horrendous puppy farm and the kennels and the conditions in which these puppies and breeding bitches are being kept and being imprisoned. This guy has over 300 breeding bitches.
Yeah, and there's no limit on the number of breeding bitches.
No, well, the local authority, when it issues these dog breeding establishment licenses to begin with, right, they will license a breeder for X number of breeding bitches, depending on the facility, right? I might be licensed to have 80 breeding bitches, right, which is far too much to begin with, right? But in practice and in reality, if there are no inspections taking place, which there are none, right, those 80 breeding bitches quickly become 160, because there is no governance and there's no inspection.
Yeah, and in that investigation by John Mooney, you know, he talks about puppies are delivered to order, and he talks about 89 registered dog breeding establishments and unknown number of unregistered operations across the Republic producing dogs to maintain this steady supply of different breeds for private clients, pet shops and puppy dealers. It really is truly, truly shocking. And then what about, is there still... Are Irish people still buying from these puppy farms? Have people copped on and realised that if somebody arranges to meet you in a car park of a local supermarket, because you never find my establishment, that should be a red flag immediately that dog is coming from a puppy farm. Are there less dogs sold here, do you think? Or is that trade still there?
It's still there, Patricia.
Is it?
Regressively.
Wow.
So there's a whole essential education program required, right? And Dog Advocacy Ireland, you know, the strategy is fairly simple, Patricia. Sustained media exposure, right? The more programs I go on or newspaper articles I give interviews for, the more that people will become aware of puppy farming and what's going on and the brutality and the suffering. As you and I speak right now, Patricia, and your listeners, there are thousands of dogs being imprisoned in these hellholes, which may be lying in faeces-laden straw bedding, possibly without a bowl of water. And if they even have a bowl of water, it's probably dirty.
Yeah, I've spoken over the years with some of the inspectors from the CSPCA, who are absolutely heartbroken when they're describing some of the conditions. And of course, the big problem as well is that many of these puppies, I would say the majority of these puppies, are not socialised properly. And that then can lead to problems for the new owners.
Absolutely. Again, Patricia, you're so spot on. Like these puppies, if you can visualise these hellhole conditions, they're kept in kennels. It's a breed for greed culture. These dog breeders have no interest in the poor puppies or the breeding bitches. They never receive a nice pat on the head or a little pet and a cuddle. It doesn't happen. All they hear in most cases is the rattle of keys and a shed door opening. And that in itself probably sends shivers of fear up the spine, because they know what's happening next, right? So they do not receive any love or affection or petting. Right, so they do develop both emotional problems and they can have physical health problems. You know, they're sold off as soon as it's eligible to do so. I think it's 10 weeks in this country, 8-10 weeks. And then they're shipped off. Either they're sold here in Ireland to nice little fluffy websites, which I'm not going to give any credence to.
Yeah.
We see these puppies, as you've seen, Patricia, dressed sitting in on a couch in a family home, in dressed up in frills and bows and everything else, to give the impression that this is a family dog.
It's anything but. And then the breeding female dogs, they just keep breeding and breeding.
Oh yeah, they're an ATM machine, you know. They're kept in constant pregnancy. The breeding bitches, that's what they're there for, to produce puppies.
Yes.
You know, it's barbaric. So why the hell do our authorities, I mean our government and the relevant bodies who have responsibility, like, for example, since the 1st of January, and thanks for allowing me to go on about this, Patricia, but would you believe since the 1st of January of 2025, the few veterinary officers that were employed by local authorities, and I have to say the Cork County Council had more than most. Most local authorities had only one. Some had none whatsoever. Right. So how the hell could these dog breeding establishments be governed or inspected? So look, since the 1st of January of 2025, would you believe that those veterinary officers that were employed by local authorities have been reassigned to the Department of Agriculture, leaving the local authorities, the dog breeding establishment license issuing authority, with no veterinary officers?
Okay.
Like, how ridiculous can it get?
Okay, it's just, it is truly shameful that anyone can make money off the back of the misery of those animals. It really is. Listen, John, it was a pleasure to speak with you. Continue good luck with the great work that you do at Dog Advocacy Ireland, and thank you for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thank you for giving me time.
Good morning.